What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, where you'll find out what the Fukushima's going on.
And aloha, America. Welcome to our show today. It is Friday, March 1st, 2019. Thank goodness it's Friday. Thank goodness it's Friday. Thank goodness it's Friday. It's been a heck of a week. And it only looks like things are just going to get even more crazy and weird from this point on. But at least it's Friday and we've got a weekend. We can unwind a little bit, look back and take a deep breath before we plunge back in next Monday. And speaking of taking a look back, we can see the pattern forming up here. You know, back in 2003, when the U.S. wanted to invade Iraq, they came up with a bunch of lies about weapons of mass destruction. Same thing with Libya in 2011. Same thing with Syria. Assad's gassing his own people. Yemen, still involved there. Ukraine in 2014. Yanukovych is killing his own people. And now Venezuela, where they're out there saying, oh, it's a humanitarian crisis. We must intervene. Those poor Venezuelans that are starving because of the sanctions that we put all over them. But again, that evil Maduro made us put those sanctions on him, mommy. So it's just more of the same thing that we have seen time and time again. The U.S. government and corporations covet the resources of Venezuela. The U.S. government resents that Venezuela won't do as it's told. And so it looks like war is on its way here. Story coming out of Global Research. Right now, the U.S. sanctions on Venezuela are probably worse than the Iraq sanctions before that war started. And all this talk about humanitarian aid shipments to Venezuela, they never mention how tiny a fraction this aid is relative to the devastating damage that U.S. sanctions against Venezuela have caused. Which, you know, it's hypocritical for the United States to crush Venezuela's economy with sanctions and then come on in and say, here, we're going to give you a few crumbs, although hidden inside the crumbs are things to support the opposition here. Now, Mike Pence, basically, at a meeting of the Lima Group in Bogota, delivered this bellicose speech, basically saying war in Venezuela is coming. There is no turning back. And the remarks were timed to coincide with that U.S. orchestrated provocation at the Venezuelan border last weekend. And Pence went on to say, all options are on the table. We have seen the same story before. Pence said, a new day is coming in Latin America, in Venezuela, and across the Western Hemisphere. There's a dead giveaway. It's not going to stop in Venezuela. Socialism is dying, and liberty, prosperity, and democracy are being reborn before our eyes. Well, okay, Mike, here's your rifle, and here's your parachute. And here's your day-glow orange jumpsuit left over from the CIA's torture centers. Watch your head climbing into that transport, and we're going to call Maduro and tell him you are on your way all by yourself to kick his butt. And the rest of us, we're going to sit this next one out because we, the American people, are sick and tired of being lied into these wars time and time and time again. And we know this has nothing to do with democracy and has nothing to do with humanitarian aid. It has to do with controlling Venezuela's oil, which is the largest oil reserves on the planet Earth. And again, Pence's comment about across the entire hemisphere gives it away. It's not just going to be Venezuela. And if Mike Pence is really opposed to socialism, he ought to be taking a closer look here at the United States of America because we are headed well down the road to socialism. Okay, we're going to take a phone call now. Steve Elkins, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
My dog's going crazy here, Mike. Question.
I have that effect on dogs.
I think 2 days ago you were talking about the U.S. military, U.S. Navy being in the Taiwan Strait, the South China Sea, and our U.S. Navy, evidently
yes,
provoking China for a military action response. While supposedly we're supposed to be either easing up on the tariffs or maybe eliminating the tariffs and trying to find a fair trade deal with China, Has there been any excuse given or any reason given for why the U.S. military is in their waters?
The U.S. military just says it's a freedom of navigation exercise, but the timing is just too cute. And it's another indicator that our government is really badly factionalized, that there's a large part of the government. In fact, we have an article that's in the talking points later on where at this point, the U.S. government is breaking into two camps, those who want to confront Russia and China right now and those who do not. And I think, obviously, the military is under the control of that camp that wants to provoke a military confrontation, and they don't care if the trade talks collapse.
Mm-hmm. Now, are there any laws that the United States is breaking right now by being in those waters? I mean, I would assume you have to have permission. Is like if they were in the Atlantic or the Pacific, they would have to be in international waters, and they were closer than that, they would have to have some kind of approval from the United States.
As long as they are 12 miles away from either coastline, they're considered to be in international waters.
Okay. That's it for me, Mike. Thanks. Appreciate it.
All right. Thanks an awful lot. We're going to let you go. But it is still clearly meant to be a provocation. Okay. We're going to do a shout-out now to our on-air affiliates who are just now rejoining the network here. And Elliot Abrams has got a really tough job. I mean, 2 weeks ago, when he was going through his, I guess, confirmation, if you will, newly elected Congresswoman Ilhan Omar, referencing Abrams' involvement in the Iran-Contra scandal, asked, "Why should we trust you?" A valid question. And he fumbled his way through that one. The only thing that saved him was the corporate media, who predictably accused Representative Omar of being an anti-Semite because Elliot Abrams is Jewish. So earlier this week, Russian envoy Vasily Nebenzia called out Abrams in front of the UN General Assembly, noting that in the 1980s, Abrams had schemed to smuggle arms to Nicaraguan death squads disguised as humanitarian aid, and said that's exactly what he's trying to do again by forcing U.S. humanitarian aid into Venezuela. And forget all the other aid that's coming on from all the other countries. No, you will accept the U.S. aid. And don't forget, in the aid trucks that were burned at that defunct bridge, they did find construction materials for the building of barricades, something the opposition would need. Now, Venezuela's opposition leader, Juan Guaido, who's in Brazil, is now vowing he will return to Caracas despite the threat of being thrown in prison. Now, obviously, he cannot lead his opposition from Colombia, or actually he's in Brazil right now. He has to be there seen to be leading the opposition, but he did violate a court-imposed travel ban to leave Venezuela. And so now Maduro has a legitimate reason to throw him in jail, at which point the United States is going to scream, you know, humanitarian crime or some other such situation here. And again, the lies are going on here. You know, Guaido is this U.S. educated and presumably CIA trained opposition figure that most Venezuelans had never heard of until recently. Before he stood up in the assembly and declared himself president, only 20% of the Venezuelans had heard his name. And he's described in the corporate media as the internationally recognized president of Venezuela. And that right there is another corporate media lie. Guaido is recognized by the U.S. and some U.S. allies, but the vast majority of nations on earth continue to recognize the government of President Maduro as the legitimate authority. Now, Maduro was inaugurated on January 10th for the second time as an elected president. And that's when Washington began to crank up its regime change apparatus in the country. Apparently, they expected Maduro's opponent to win, and it didn't happen. So Guaido is now contriving this set piece drama over humanitarian aid, which is misleadingly being reported as blocked by the Maduro government on a single defunct border crossing. The bridge was built in 2015. It's never opened due to an ongoing dispute between the two countries. It's blocked at both ends. The whole thing was staged. You know, for media footage of, you know, Maduro burns the humanitarian aid trucks. Actually, video showed it was the opposition that burned the truck. And the Red Cross went public slamming these people for using the Red Cross logo without permission. Because you're not supposed to use that Red Cross symbol unless the Red Cross says, yes, it's okay, and we'll get involved and we'll help out and we'll be part of what's going on. So it was just set decoration. These trucks were just props here. Now, the U.S. is out there screaming that Venezuela's government is committing human rights abuses, and yet the United States, look at all the human rights abuses it's committing across the Middle East. First and foremost, the torture of all those Iraqis to death to find weapons of mass destruction, which turned out not to exist, not to mention support for Saudi Arabia and their human rights violations in Yemen, not to mention support for Israel and their human rights violations in Palestine. So once again, the United States is being incredibly hypocritical. Their double standards are on view for the world to see. Now, Maduro, sensing that this situation is going to continue to escalate, has ordered the European headquarters of the Venezuelan state oil firm PDVSA to be moved to Moscow. And they're closing the Lisbon office. And basically, the decision comes as Venezuela expands energy cooperation with Russia's oil and gas giants Gazprom and Rosneft. So It does make sense. The United States is trying to prevent Venezuela from selling their oil to any place in the U.S. or U.S. allies. So, of course, Maduro is going to turn over to the Russian sphere of influence. Down in Mexico, the Mexicans are protesting in large numbers against the U.S. war on Venezuela and the violation of Latin American independence that it would represent. Anyway, over in Bolivia, Evo Morales said the Heyday Empire is over, which is a daring statement, even as the U.S. works to overthrow the government of neighboring Venezuela. Now, over in Pakistan, they have released the captured Indian pilot Abhinandan Vardhaman. And he was shown on TV crossing the border back into India after he was released by Pakistani authorities. The footage shows him being walked to a heavily guarded border crossing by Pakistan officials. He's handed over peacefully to Indian forces who walk him across the frontier. Then they drive him away in a police car. Now, Pakistan Prime Minister Imran Khan released Abhinandan as a peace gesture. And, of course, Abhinandan received a hero's welcome when he arrived back on Indian soil today. So hopefully Imran Khan's gesture will get everybody to maybe take a deep breath and back off. But there's still a lot of arms and personnel gathering on that line of control. And so we'll see what's going to happen. Pakistan did threaten that there was going to be a retaliation for the attack by India, which India claimed was an attack, a retaliation for an attack by a terrorist group. Now, the terrorist group has taken credit for the attack and said, yes, we did it. You know, over here, look at us. We did it. Our bad. But India immediately said, oh, no, it's Pakistan. It's definitely Pakistan's behind all of this. So what's really going on in the back channels? And it turns out that Israel is actually a major player in this escalating conflict with Pakistan. For months, Israel has been lining itself up alongside India's nationalist BJP government in an unspoken and politically dangerous anti-Islamist coalition. And it turns out that India has become the largest weapons market for the Israeli arms trade. So if Israel would like to sell more weapons, another false flag terror attack inside India. India attacks Pakistan. The war is on. Israel is making money. Now, a lot of people are questioning some of the reports coming out about this dogfight that took place between India and Pakistan and involved a large number of planes. But one of the reports was that India claimed one of its MiG-21 fighter jets shot down a Pakistani Air Force F-16. And a lot of people are saying, boy, that just doesn't sound right. I mean, the MiG-21 is a generation earlier. It was first used in 1959. And the F-16 has more modern equipment and systems. But military experts are saying that really it's really up to the pilot. That if you've got a really good pilot in the MiG and a not so good pilot in the F-16, it's not beyond the realm of possibility. And this is coming from Mikhail Khodorkovnik, that's it, military expert and retired colonel who served in the Russian Missile Defense Forces, as told to Russia Today. And just to show you how incredibly bizarre and silly all of this is getting, there was an article that came out in the Washington Examiner explaining how a nuclear war between India and Pakistan could reverse human-caused global warming. And they're saying, yes, it would be a bad thing. There'd be a horrible death toll and humanitarian crisis. But all that dust and dirt thrown up into the air, which I would like to remind everybody would be radioactive, would, you know, reduce sunlight getting to the surface of the Earth. It would trigger a nuclear winter and global warming would be over. Well, sitting here in Hawaii, where it is unusually cold, I can tell you global warming actually is over already. And by the way, unless that dust and debris thrown into the atmosphere is white, it will absorb solar radiation to the exact same degree that it would if it was still sitting on the ground. Okay. Over in Syria, there is a growing fight over what is being called the safe zone, with the United States wanting to keep their forces there to protect the Kurds from Turkey, Turkey wanting to administer it. And now Syria and Turkey are talking about reviving a treaty that was signed back in 1998 called the Adana Agreement, in which both Syria and Turkey would agree to stay out of that Kurdish area. And to nobody's surprise, the United States is attempting to block efforts to revive the Adana Agreement because they want to stay on in there. A Syrian official is saying that it is U.S. military forces and their allies that are responsible for the humanitarian crisis at the Rukban refugee camp. And that, in point of fact, American troops are preventing residents from leaving the site to go toward government-controlled areas. So that's what's going on. Anyway, he stressed that the Damascus government is prepared to take responsibility for a safe and decent return of displaced people to their hometowns. They've basically opened up these safe transit corridors for these people to use in the Rukban camp. The Americans won't let them go. The other day we were talking about this story that had come out about how the United States government had received tens of tons of gold, somewhere between 40 and 50 tons of gold from ISIS in exchange for evacuating them out of high danger areas of Syria. Well, there's been a clarification today. This is coming out of Southfront.org. Apparently, it was a less than amicable deal. Apparently, it was the United States idea where they came on in and said, we know you have all this gold that you've been stealing from Syrians in Syria all this time here. Unless you give it to us, we're going to abandon you here and let the Syrian army finish you off. And that's how the deal came on down, and the gold has been flown out on U.S. helicopters along with the ISIS leadership. All right, we got to take a break here for some commercials, words from our sponsors, and we'll be back after these few words. And I'm not hearing the music. There it is.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
We the people, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here. And if you would like to support Republic Broadcasting, and folks, I'm not kidding, we really need it. The postal address to send a check, money order, or if you prefer anonymity, cash, is Republic Broadcasting Network, 2251 Double Creek Drive, number 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. The phone number where you can make a credit or debit card donation or pledge to be a recurring subscriber is 800-724-2719, extension 1 during business hours, extension 3 at all other times. Getting on back to the international news, which mostly consists of war zones here, there is a newly proposed peace plan for Afghanistan, which suggests cutting the U.S. contingent in half immediately and withdrawing the remaining forces in 3 to 5 years. This is basically the United States leaving Afghanistan really slowly, so you don't get the impression that we lost that one along with Syria. Okay. But we did. We absolutely did. Speaking of Afghanistan, China's defense ministry is denying reports that they have a military presence in Afghanistan. They're cooperating militarily with Tajikistan, and cooperation between the two is in line with international law and related resolutions passed by the UN Security Council, said ministry spokesman Ren Guoqiang. However, Ren said there was no Chinese presence in the adjacent Wakhan corridor belonging to Afghanistan. Maybe that was going to be the propaganda to derail the withdrawal plan. All right, let's see. We're going to go back here to the phones. Tom in Indiana, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Aloha, Mike. I must apologize. The last time I called you, I must have gotten a dead spot, and you were going, hello, 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 and I was trying to yell and yell and yell, and you couldn't hear me. So it's not that I didn't ignore you. I just couldn't get a cell up or something here.
Well, I hear you just fine now.
Good, good. There's something that irritates me, and I don't know if it irritates a bunch of other people that are in my age group. You see, we went to Vietnam, and I was there in 1969 to 1970, and during that time, I wasn't a hero or anything like that. But I will say that we didn't lose the war there, okay? Nobody kicked us out of there when I was there. In fact, I'm sure nobody kicked us out anywhere. Everywhere we went, we won whatever battle it was, okay? We weren't kicked out of there. So as far as us losing, the Vietnam veterans did not lose the war. When you categorically say we lost in Vietnam, that's like saying we lost in Afghanistan or Syria or any other of these places that we've been. You know, it's a direct insult to the people that were there, because when you're there, you're not kicked out. You're there because they told you to be there, and you have to defend your position and yourself while you're there. You know?
You just hit the nail on the head. First of all, there's a big difference between winning a battle and winning a war, and with the U.S. leaving Saigon with a bunch of Marines dangling underneath a helicopter, that's not a graceful exit. It wasn't the soldiers on the ground who lost the war. It was the military command and the government, because they wanted the war to drag on, basically to justify more military spending. But in the end, it was bad planning and bad policy, mostly by the Johnson administration, that lost that war. But you have to be honest, we did not win in Vietnam.
I'm just telling you, it's a slap as far as in the face of the people that were there, just for you to say that we lost. When we were there, the time that we were there, everybody was there for a year. The time we were there, we were there. The other thing I wanted to talk to you about, too, is you're talking about Venezuela. Back in 1969, when I went to Vietnam, do you know how many people in the United States spoke Vietnamese? Probably not even a half of a 1%. Now, as far as speaking Spanish today, I'd say 1 out of 10 people in the United States can speak Spanish. Would you agree with me or not?
I would tend to agree with you. You know, in certain areas like Los Angeles, it's probably, you know, 1 out of every 2.
Okay, well, they teach Spanish in school around in my area here, so
yes,
it's like another thing. You know, some of the words. Now, if you're going into a country and try to win the minds and spirits of the people, and you don't know the language or the customs, that's another thing that you have to worry about. That we have our customs and our language is so foreign to Vietnamese. It was like, how do you win the hearts and minds and souls of these people when you can't even communicate with the people? You know, it's
well,
not the same thing
Coulson's
as Venezuela,
law?
Though.
You remember Coulson's law? This was a sign that was on the wall at Chuck Colson's office at the White House. When you've got them by the balls, their hearts and minds will follow. And that was exactly the attitude that the administration had toward fighting that war in Vietnam. Anyway, Tom, I apologize if your feelings got hurt, but we did lose that war. We got to take a break for commercials, and we'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
homeowners. Are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855, the number 2, keep it today.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets, even with a growing audience every day. RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org, and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Welcome to What Really Happened Radio. Visit us online at whatreallyhappened.com. And now, set your eyes on the future and let's consider what really happened.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show. And boy, the phone lines are loading up now here. We're going to start with Dustin in New Jersey. Aloha, Dustin. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
There's winners and losers and everything. And the North Vietnamese general knew they won the war is when all those guys was hanging from the helicopter. That's when they won and we've lost. You know, it's like a baseball game. You lose, yes, on the field, you walk off the field. If you win on the baseball field, you're all cheering your team won. You left, you know, it was a political and economical decision, I say, at that point. You know, but you know who the real losers are, Mike? The American people, for allowing this crap to go on in the first place. The winners are the oligarchs that sent you to the war in the first place. And it's been going on ever since, Mike. Vietnam, Iraq, Syria, this, that, here and around, Venezuela. When are people going to wake up? The loser are us.
Yeah, Obama, they are. And from the point of view of the military-industrial complex, they won the Vietnam War because they made a ton of money off of it.
But Obama's kids, Bush's kids, Clinton's kids, none of them went to any of these wars. When are people going to get that? We're the losers. We're getting sent like cannon fodder over there for their economic gain, per se, you know?
Yes.
I mean, it's very easy to figure out what's going on now, you know, when, you know, where you have, like, you know, independent media exposing everything. And,
yes,
I wanted to talk about India and Pakistan, Mike, but I'll call back next week and talk about that. I'll listen to some more callers. Have a good show, Mike.
Yeah, because we got a lot of callers on the line right now here, and we're going to switch over to Frank in North Carolina. Aloha, Frank. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Well, that comment that you made and the little dispute you had with the caller, difference of opinion about the winning or losing of the Vietnam War, and I would agree maybe in the classical sense it was a loss, but I think it was a great success in one way. It tore the country apart, and that seems to be what the quote-unquote elites always want to do. I mean, that's what Barack Obama's 8 years of presidency did. It ripped this country apart.
I don't think it was necessarily intentional during the Vietnam era. I mean, certainly we had COINTELPRO that was trying to pit Americans against each other, but it was targeted on the anti-war movement. Because when you're waging war against another country, you need the support of your civil population to bear the burden and hardship that war brings. Vietnam did divide the country. And in the end, it was simply that the American people simply reached the point where they weren't going to support it anymore.
Well, it killed a lot of people, and I'm sure they wished it would have killed a whole lot more people on both sides, but I guess they could only get away with it for so long, because I believe one of the goals of these wars is to kill a bunch of people off. I mean, it's just one of the ways they cull the population. But what do you think would happen today if they did try and reinstate the draft? And as we discussed briefly the other day, with the young men and women, if they reinstated a mandatory service for war.
I think we would see the American people finally snap out of their torpor. And, because after 17 years of war, everybody's sort of kind of gotten used to it. Yeah, there's another war and here's another war and everything. I think they'd snap out of that. And I think there would be a huge pushback where Americans would finally have to confront all these wars and really examine what were they fought for? What was the real reason that we have gone into all these countries? Why we have our military in 39% of the countries all over the planet. And I think after that moment of self-realization, I think there would be a tremendous outrage, because that's certainly what happened in Vietnam. Because prior to the draft being reinstated, most people couldn't even find Vietnam on a map. And then the draft was reinstated, and everybody, wait a minute, you're coming for my kids? No, we're not going to let this happen.
Yeah, I tend to agree with that assessment. Well, once they would have skin in the game, I think they'd be out in the streets, and not my daughter,
yes.
Not my son. Yeah, I tend to agree. Okay, thank you.
All right, we're going to switch over to Peter in Los Angeles. Aloha, Peter. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Yeah, Mike, this wasn't why I called, but there's a famous book by a guy named Colonel Harry Summers, who wrote a book called On Strategy, Clausewitz in the Vietnam War, and he was a delegate to the Paris talks with the North Vietnamese at the end of the war. And he went up to one of the North Vietnamese delegates, Summers did, and said, we never lost a battle. And the Vietnamese general turned to him and says, that's true, but it's also irrelevant. But at any rate, the reason why I'm calling is, and I sent you this article, Mike, there's what the anti-Semitism thing with Labour Party in England, right?
Oh, yes.
Some of the Labour Party people are starting to sort of fight back the way they ought to. And with all the UN stuff on Israel being found, findings of war crimes and all the stuff against the Palestinians just recently, right?
Yes.
They're saying because you see a lot of these volunteers that have gone to fight for ISIS, and they're not allowed back in the country, right? And
yes.
So now when they're linking the war crimes to Israel, they're saying, listen, you shouldn't be allowed back in the country either. If you're one of those, by the way, there's more British Jews serving in the Israeli army than there are in the British army, as there are more American Jews serving in the Israeli army than the American army. But at any rate, you shouldn't be allowed in the country either. With war crimes and all that. And I thought it was great. So, just wanted to hear what you had. Did you have a chance to read that?
No, I haven't read that book. I mean, I've read von Clausewitz, you know, his original writings, but not Sommer's book. But that North Vietnamese general was absolutely correct. You know, your past successes and failures generally are irrelevant. And it's almost a gambler's fallacy. You know, I'm on a winning streak. I should keep gambling. No, every time you roll the dice, it's the same odds that you might win or lose. And
you can't sever the battlefield can be severed from the political results. And that's what he was getting at. Of course, we won on the battlefield, but what does that matter? We lost politically in a huge way. So,
in the classical sense,
was right as well.
You know, in the classical sense, the U.S. had to leave Vietnam as part of the Paris Peace Accords. The U.S. was supposed to pay something like $15 billion in reparations to Vietnam. The U.S. reneged on that, which is why Vietnam kept the POWs.
Yeah, you know, there's a good story about how those relations with Vietnam got reinstated. It has to do with Ron Brown and the Clinton administration. Have you ever heard that one?
I heard some rumblings about it, but please enlighten us.
Well, Ron Brown at the time was the chairman of the Democratic Party and had just been put back in the Clinton cabinet as the Commerce Secretary.
Yes.
Of course, he was, in my opinion, assassinated like 2 years
yes.
later. But it turned out that Vietnam had contributed, North Vietnam, or now Vietnam, had contributed hundreds of thousands of dollars to the Clinton campaign and for the recognition. One of the things that was because Ron Brown, as the bagman, head of the DNC, was being investigated, one of the things when he died, investigated over, were these illegal contributions from Vietnam in order to get, you know, most favored nation status restored to them.
Yes. Yes,
so,
I remember
you know.
That now.
But
Ron Brown saying that he would not go down alone, which ultimately he didn't, but not in the way that he meant.
Yeah, he went down with a whole plane load of people. Mike, did you get a chance to read that about the Labor Party and saying that the people who are serving British subjects, serving in the Israeli army, should not be allowed back?
Well, I've been reading about that. In fact, I think we have one in the talking points a little bit further in. Now, I don't know what the laws are for Great Britain, but I believe here in the United States of America that if you travel to a foreign country and serve in their military, it can cost you your citizenship.
Yes, and wouldn't it be great since we can now tie this terrorism charge and these war crimes to the Israeli army, now that the UN is saying that, if people like Rahm Emanuel, who did that, and Jeffrey Goldberg of National Review, and some of these people were actually held to account for their disloyalty to the, or their, let's just say, their more favored loyalty to Israel than the United States.
They should be. Well, right now we're seeing a propaganda push to basically say that this idea of dual loyalty is just another anti-Semitic canard, that it doesn't really exist, that, you know, American Jews are loyal to America, which, again, actions speak a lot louder than words.
I just sent you another one on that about a half an hour ago. So it's off Mondo Weiss that American Jews are saying, oh, yes, there is a problem with American Jews. Some of them are saying there is a problem with dual loyalty.
Yes.
So anyways,
I posted
that's it for me, Mike.
Yeah, okay. Thanks a lot. I did post that. And we're going to switch on over to Al in Canada. Aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, Mike. A lot of interesting information just came out in the last 15 minutes. I'm going to play devil's advocate here, and I'm curious as to why you didn't ask that Vietnam vet, Tom, I believe his name was.
Yes.
What he was told, the reason he was there, because he sounded kind of, what's the word I'm looking for? Disillusioned, maybe a little bit.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't want to take anything away from the guy, but obviously he might have been lied to, and he still believes the lies.
That very well could be the case here. And I got an email just now from saying nobody wants to be on the losing side. And I understand exactly, you know, how that works. Again, in the classic view, the United States did not win that war, just like we never won in Korea. And that's the reality. And it's not meant to be a slap in the face of those who put on the uniform and actually did the fighting. They're as much a victim of the war as anybody else. But in the case of Vietnam, it was mismanaged from the get-go, and it dragged on too long until the point where public support for it collapsed.
Yeah, it almost seemed like a push from the military-industrial complex to really take a lot of power for themselves, to call the shots. And obviously, we can see what's happening. I mean, Eisenhower warned of this was going to happen, and I mean, look at it. It's just a mess now.
Yes.
I'm going to let you go in a sec, but what Peter was saying about these people that are not allowed home, that went to fight for ISIS, I mean, we have to remember that who created these people, number one. And number two, with all the crapola that's going on up here in Canada with Trudeau, you know what? He'll take them. He'll bring them right into this country and feed them for years. Because he needs the votes. Come on in, people. I'm sure Trudeau is probably tweeting this as
Canada's
I'm talking.
Canada's a beautiful country, you know. That's a nice place to live if you don't mind the snow and ice in the winter.
Well, there are a lot of... Well, when you think about it, like I live in the southern part of Canada, you know, we're actually not as far north as a lot of the United States. But anyway, thanks. You know what? Thanks a lot, Mike. The last callers that just called in, I love you guys. Keep calling. Thanks a lot.
All right. Thanks an awful lot. Same sentiment to you. And we're going to switch over to Mark in North Carolina. Aloha, Mark. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, Mike, I just wanted to remind people what we were told, and we were told a lot of the same garbage today with all the Middle East wars and all that. We got to fight them there, otherwise we're going to have to fight them in the streets of L.A. and New York, wherever. Total garbage. You look at Vietnam today, they're a bustling country, same communist government that we were saying were so evil at the time. And they're actually even asking us for help against China, which I don't think we should be involved in. I think we should get out of these places, stay out. We lost 58,000 American soldiers in Vietnam. I don't know, probably hundreds of thousands of wounded. Many people messed up in the head years after that. Even today, you still see homeless people in the streets, veterans that are from the Vietnam era. You know, so I mean, this is what this cost us. We should understand. You know, we didn't lose a war. For instance, they didn't just conquer us. Okay. We did leave on our own, you know, power. But by the way, the people who were hanging on to those helicopters, the war had been over already. Those are people basically being evacuated, Vietnamese that wanted to come to the United States. But the thing is this, we didn't accomplish what this government wanted to accomplish, whatever that was, okay? They still became a communist nation, and they're a communist nation today, and they're doing very well today with communism, which is, you know, so... That kicks some of this stuff about socialism can't work and all that in its teeth, because it seems to be working very well over there. So that's basically what that was about. And we should learn already and stop it. When they tell us we got to fight them over there so we don't fight them over here, throw that away. Don't listen to that. And if you want to go into the military today, understand what you're doing before you go in. That's all I can say.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And again, I like to go back to that essay pamphlet. It's not quite a book by Marine Corps Major General Smedley Butler called War is a Racket. And this is a guy who enlisted, rose through the ranks, became a major general, was in charge of Marine training, was well respected and followed his orders. And then when he retired, and he took off the stars and he sat down and he said, this is really what's going on. We were out here fighting these wars for American corporate interests and banks. And that's really what it was all about. And we were trading the lives of all these kids to make these corporations and banks richer. And that's still going on to this very day.
Yes, I agree with you 100%, Mike. Finley Butler was a hero. Unfortunately, a lot of people don't know who he is today when they mention him, which is a shame.
Well, his name kind of got buried in the aftermath of that failed coup d'etat against Franklin Roosevelt, because he was very famous in his own day. But after he blew the whistle to Congress, the whole affair was hushed up and covered up, and he sort of became the third rail, and nobody wanted to talk about him or mention him in the media anymore. Anyway, listen, Mark, we got to let you go. We got to take another break for commercials, and we'll be back after these few words from our sponsors.
Worry a lot? If you're forgetful, nervous, moody, or overwhelmed, chances are you're not protecting yourself from the ravaging effects of stress and anxiety. No matter the cause, ongoing stress and elevated levels of the stress hormone cortisol can rob your memory, your health, your quality of life, and your future. Now you can combat the effects of stress and anxiety while improving your memory and recall at the same time with the dietary supplement Calm and Clever. Studies show that the ingredients in Calm and Clever reduce cortisol by as much as 30% in as little as 1 to 2 weeks and increase your ability to recall facts, names, and numbers in 4 to 12 weeks. Calm and Clever was created by scientist Kurt Hendricks, a principal investigator in 2 NIH-funded studies on Alzheimer's disease. Try Calm and Clever for 2 months. You'll feel the difference. Call 1-800-758-8746 or go to calmandclever.com.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. It really does work like the review says it does. I cannot believe that after the first few days, I didn't feel as sluggish or clogged up. It has had a profound impact on my physical, emotional well-being. I'm skeptical as most people about products and their claims, and I never write reviews, but this is a wonderful product and I recommend it to everyone. Great product. It has brought my blood pressure from the mid-150s over the 80s to the mid-130s over mid-80s. Along with diet and exercise in just the past couple of months. Excellent. Thank you, David. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Some are maxed out all their credit cards. Some are working 2 jobs and living in cars. Minimum wage won't pay for a roof, won't pay for a drink. If you gotta have proof, distract yourself, Mr. CEO. See how far $5.15 an hour will go. Take a part-time job at one of your stores. I bet you can't make it here anymore.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here and getting back to the international news here. Apparently over in Great Britain, they had planned to close 5 military bases. And now the Ministry of Defense is canceling the base closures due to the Skripal poisoning case. That's the excuse that they're using to basically say we're going to spend more money on the military here. And they're saying it's a clear-eyed assessment of the rapidly changing threats following the Salisbury Novichok attacks. So apparently Britain is following a five-year plan to update 33 key military sites across Great Britain. Meanwhile, Philippine officials say that a proposal to re-examine a 1951 mutual defense treaty between Washington and Manila and territorial conflicts in the South China Sea are likely to be discussed during a visit by Secretary of State Mike Pompeo. Defense Secretary Delfin Lorenzana will meet a Pentagon official next month before formal talks begin on reviewing the treaty, which calls on the allies to come to each other's defense against an external attack. So already they're starting to lay the paperwork treaty grid, if you will, for a war here in the Pacific, which does not make me very happy at all. There is a report that came out of srbin.info basically predicting that there's going to be a war in the Balkans this year. And this supposedly is coming from a leak from U.S. intelligence. And, of course, they're putting the blame on Vladimir Putin. Oh, that evil, evil, evil Vladimir Putin here. NATO Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg has come on out and said that the alliance's enlargement to the east should not be seen as a provocation against Russia, and says that the concept of spheres of influence, really, it's outdated. It should be left behind. It's just, you know, we're trying to get more members of our club. You know, it's like a book club or a coffee clutch. We're just welcoming more members in. And that really shouldn't be, Russia shouldn't be nervous about that at all. And meanwhile, NATO is stepping up its naval presence in the Black Sea. Now, the whole issue about NATO expanding eastward goes back to the collapse of the former Soviet Union, at which point NATO, and especially the United States, made a promise NATO would not expand any further eastward than it already was, which was basically the eastern border of Germany. And, of course, immediately proceeded to break that promise. And that's why Russia is nervous. And for Stoltenberg to come on out and make this statement shows that he knows Russia sees this as a provocation. And we all know that Russia is not going to take NATO's assurances that this is not a provocation, not with all the weapons and personnel that have been flooding into Europe over the last year. We're going to take a break for station identification, and we'll be right back.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.